We're back, and we might have missed a few things. I guess we're just going to have to get caught up on all of it. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. AJ Hoffman, the role model. No Jong Lee today. If you want to get in, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook line, Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott today. And so, because there is no Jong, there is at no at Degenerates975 account. So you can tweet that all you want, but too bad. You can also hit us up on the text line, 713-780-3776. ESPN is your number, and it's a Tuesday. Really feels like a Monday, but it's also kind of a Wednesday because we don't have a full week, so let's just have some fun today. What's up, Hoffman?
Sports and things like that. What's up with you, Freddie?
About the same.
How was your new year?
Pretty tame. Pretty
really?
Tame. I went out Friday night with some friends and then did not leave my couch for 3 days. I basically sat there and watched football and drank and binge-watched.
The ball dropped on your couch?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. What's that mean?
Well, I mean, I stayed at home. I didn't get out and do anything on New Year's Eve because it's more fun. It's too crazy out, especially around downtown to get
and
out.
And your lady was good with that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was cool. We just sort of stayed in, you know, watched all the stuff on TV and, you know, bummed out. Today was the first day I basically got off my couch to get my fat ass back in the gym.
Boy. That's a whole other issue that's going on in my life right now is the gym is ridiculous right now. And I haven't been able to make my schedule work with getting up to my jiu-jitsu gym Monday or Tuesday. So I said, all right, well, just I got to go get in a workout. And the regular gym, it ain't a pretty thing. There are millions of people in a gym.
Especially like right after the first, it's resolution day.
It is packed.
They'll all be gone in a week.
I hope so. I really do. I need these people to give up on their goals. It's getting to be ridiculous at this point. So I'm hoping that, you know, everybody decides that it's just easier to be fat and weak than to be fast and strong. So The goal is to get those people out. I'm actually body shaming some people, hoping to make them quit. I'm walking by, but poor treadmill, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
The guys that are, there's groups of guys monopolizing the free weights. Normally on New Year's, the machines get hogged up early because that's kind of the entry level to weightlifting. And usually you can get over on the free weights and still get some work in. Not the case at my gym. There are large groups of not just skinny men, but large women attempting to use free weights. And it's not good. They're going to get hurt, which I guess it all works out. They'll be out of here.
Yeah, they'll get hurt, and then they can't go back.
Right.
They'll forget all about it.
It is frustrating. I will say that. It has been frustrating.
See, the gym at my place, everybody's still gone, so it wasn't a problem. There was hardly nobody in there. There's like three of us.
I need my own personal gym.
Well, that's the only thing that's going to suck about moving is I'm going to have to join another gym again and go public. But, you know, these things happen. Well, we do what we must.
You know, it'll get back to normal soon enough.
Yeah, by the time I'm out of there, I'm guessing it will slow down again.
Did you see? Well, I guess we haven't discussed this. The Texans are in the playoffs.
They are.
Ring the bells, sound the whistles. I mean, this is exciting news, right?
Yeah.
You pretty stoked, Tyler? You jacked about this?
I mean, I don't know. I just got invited to the game for free, so I guess I should.
Yeah, I saw something that said I think I retweeted it. It said that I had two tickets to the Texans Raiders game on my dashboard of my car. Someone broke in and left four more tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's boiling down to. Nobody wants to go see that game. Then I was reading that the Texans Raiders playoff game could be a big loss for the network as well. ESPN will be apparently this is going to be or at least on the broadcast, the money that's going to be televised is I think they paid $100 million to televise that one wild card game. So it just did not work out for them. They get the Connor Cook Brock Osweiler matchup, and I can't imagine the ratings are just going to be horrific. I mean, it's going to be bad.
Well, so. that is a little bit misleading because they were going to lose $75 million no matter who was in that spot,
right?
Because yeah, it's one of those dumb deals that ESPN did where they have to pay $100 million for the wild card game.
Then what's the point?
I don't know. I don't know how they got it. Well, we're wondering why ESPN's hemorrhaging money. Here's a reason. The NFL basically can say they have the option on it. They can say, okay, you're paying us $100 million for this game, and then they can stick them with whatever game they want. The most they're going to make on it's 25.
Is it capped? Or why
it's pretty much that's from what I understand. That's the most they can actually sell for.
Is that the most they can realistically sell?
No, I think that's the most they can actually sell.
That's weird.
And they probably won't sell all of that, I would guess.
I can't imagine. I think it's going to be tough. I think you're going to see a lot of Mike and Mike promos and things like that going through there. Yeah. It's just a bad situation. I don't know what of course, it'll be a quote-unquote sellout at the stadium. And, you know, they'll announce an attendance. What percentage of that stadium do you think is going to be full?
Oh, I think it'll be pretty full. People will take the cheap tickets and go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people who want to go to these games. So I have no doubt that the place will be packed.
I mean, they get to say they were at a playoff game.
Yeah. And it's not like these things happen all the time around here.
That's true.
Let's be fair. It's, you know, in the history of Houston football, there haven't been a whole lot of home playoff games.
So what do you do? Are you excited that the Texans drew the Raiders, or is it just prolonging the inevitable? What are we doing? Well, what's the feeling like with Texans fan?
Well, I don't know why you're asking me what the feeling like is for Texans fan. For me, I'm glad they got the Raiders because
you've got your ear to the underground, Fred. That's why I'm asking.
There's an underground?
Yeah. You've got your finger on the pulse of Texans fan.
Oh.
Texans fan hates me.
Well, I think they're pretty happy with that matchup because especially now that it's Connor Cook. And when you look at that, you're kind of like, okay, this is the matchup you want. And then if you win that game, at least you won a playoff game. And you're going to get killed in New England next week. I think everybody gets that.
Okay. Let's do a let's do a scale here. Scale of 1 to 10. 10 being Osweiler, 1 being Connor Cook, 5 being they're even. How does the scale line up as far as quarterback matchup? You feel like you're at a 6.5?
I was going to say 6-4.
Okay.
6-4 Osweiler.
But we don't even know. Connor Cook might be better.
Yeah, that's the old devil you don't know thing.
Right.
But I think asking a guy to...
Connor Cook's one of those guys who... I don't want to compare them because obviously one's had tremendous success already. But people talked about Connor Cook the same way they talked about Dak Prescott. That he's got a lot of raw talent. And if he sits for a while, he could actually be a player. And I
thought the opposite. I thought of all the guys who were drafted, he was the most ready to play immediately with the lowest upside.
Okay. Well, there are also people who thought that the Raiders may have received a quarterback upgrade with Matt McGloin being hurt because Connor Cook's a better quarterback than Matt McGloin, which I don't know that I would necessarily argue. I think physically you look at the two and the way they throw the ball, I would probably prefer to go out there with Connor Cook. I understand why they were going with McGloin because the guy had some experience, but I don't know that they're necessarily in a worse spot than they were before McGloin got hurt.
I think they were... Regardless of which one it is.
It was a bad spot, obviously.
They were doomed when Derek Carr went down. That's basically it. I honestly, neither one of these guys, to me, are equipped to go in and win a playoff game on the road.
But
Now, to be fair, the other side, I don't know that Brock Osweiler is any more equipped, but at least in that case, you've got a guy who's been out there all season. And, you know, it's we talk about it all the time. The intensity level in the playoffs goes up so much. You know, maybe kind of, I'm not going to be surprised if the Raiders come in here and win.
I wouldn't either.
Don't be putting that evil on me. I think there's a real good chance it happens. But if you ask me what I'd rather have, I'd rather have the quarterback who started 15 games.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm not crazy about it because we've seen that every game they won was in spite of him.
Yeah, and that's probably what this will be. They'll come out and with a healthy Lamar Miller, I think they'll be able to run the ball against these guys. They should be able to stop the Raiders' running game and then make Connor Cook beat you. And if he does, all right, good on him.
Yeah.
Pat him on the back. But it's – and I think it's – I do need to explain something because a lot of people are like, oh, they why are they choosing Osweiler? Savage can't practice this week. He's still in the concussion protocol. He may not be available Saturday. If he is, I expect them to kind of treat it the way they did the Jacksonville game. If Osweiler comes out and throws a couple picks, he's out of there. I could see that real easily.
Yeah.
But I expect them to play extremely conservatively, not let him lose it, and try to run the ball and let their defense win it for him, which is what they have to do. 832 says, if Texans win, wow, you beat the Raiders without Carr. If you lose, wow, you suck. The Raiders beat you without Carr. That's how Texans fans see this game. Yeah, it's still a playoff game, but when you look at the AFC, and we'll talk about this when we get back, but the difference between the good teams and the Raiders and the Texans and the Dolphins, it's a pretty big gap here.
Yeah.
There's a big gap between the top three and the second three. And I know Dolphin fans are going to come, we beat the Steelers earlier this year. Yeah, when Roethlisberger was limping around on one leg at your place. I don't think you're going into Pittsburgh and winning that game. But that would shock me less than, say, the Texans going in and beating the Patriots in round two. But that's about it.
Right.
All right, guys.
I think in the AFC, there's a pretty clear dividing line, and I think it's right down the middle of teams that actually have a chance to play in the Super Bowl and teams that have almost no chance to play in the Super Bowl. And unfortunately, I think the Texans fall into that
happy to be their
almost
teams.
No chance.
Happy to be their teams. And getting a win would be, you know, a bonus, I think, for any one of those three. All right. Hey, guys, guess where we're going to be on Friday? Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. And AJ's going to be there this time.
I hope so.
God. He's promised me no accidents.
Yeah,
nothing's,
I hope so.
Nothing's going to happen. That's an AJ Hoffman guarantee. But we're going to be down there, and very, very cool place. Love going down there. We're broadcasting from 4 to 7. That'll be this Friday. They've got two great projector screens on the wall, so if you want to go watch games, this is the place to do it. You want to get your playoff on Saturday? Head on down there and check them out. They've got all kinds of great beer flavors. The people down there are fantastic, and it's real easy to find. It's 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. It's less than a half mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. You can check them out at saloondoorbrewing.com. And I'm telling you, if you're in Webster, this should be your place to go to watch games and get really, really good beer. And this is Webster's Brewery. And if you're not from the area and you happen to be driving around down there, swing by and check it out. Thursdays, they have brews and bites from 4 to 9. They have food pairings with beers, catering by Missy Meals. And had some of that last time I was there. It was fantastic. Wednesday night's trivia night. So tomorrow night, go check out trivia. Give them a chance, man. You will love these guys. The beer's great. SaloonDoorBrewing.com. And if you tell them Fred sent you at checkout, you're going to get $9.75 off your tab of $35 or more. Saloon Door Brewing, SaloonDoorBrewing.com.
This is the Blitz,
the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780. 3776, and a lot to get to with this. I'm glad the Texans are in the playoffs. I just wish I felt like they had any chance, that it would be more entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think they should win this week. As I said, I'm not going to be surprised at all if they lose. But the Raiders also were winning an awful lot of close games, and a lot of those games, Carr was amazing for them in the fourth quarter. Take that out of the equation, and I especially at home, rookie quarterback, unless the guy just comes out and he's absolutely fearless, which can happen sometimes. We've seen it.
Right.
But I feel like the Texans ought to win the game. But it's just, you know, and somebody asks, well, if the Dolphins beat the Steelers and they go to Kansas City, do you feel better about their chances? Well, yeah, I'd feel better about their chances, but I still don't think they'd go in there and win. Although Tennessee went in and beat those guys 2 weeks ago, so maybe.
That's true.
I just don't see the Dolphins beating the Steelers, which means New England in round two, and I just see no chance of that.
Yeah.
No chance. And I'd like to have some, and usually I'll find a positive and a possibility. I don't see it. It's just, I mean, New England's playing at such a high level right now that there's not going to be any shame getting your ass kicked by New England, because New England's going to kick a couple asses on the way to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Django, is that Impact? Or did he?
Yeah, I think that's Impact.
Okay. He said, I saw a stat earlier this week saying the last three teams who entered the playoffs with the number one ranked defense made it to the Super Bowl. I don't think it could happen, but do you think it could be a possibility if there was a healthy J.J. Watt playing? And my simple answer is no. And you're right about the last three number one ranked defenses making it to the Super Bowl. Those guys also had Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson. Not Brock Osweiler. I really don't think
one of those teams had Brock Osweiler.
That's true. I don't think that there is a quarterback on this roster. And you can give me all the Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnsons you want. Those guys were mediocre quarterbacks. They weren't horrendously bad quarterbacks.
Actually, Johnson was, at that stage of his career, he wasn't quite as good as he'd been earlier, but he had some big seasons. He was a better Matt Schaub, basically.
Yeah. He wasn't a future Hall of Famer, but he wasn't a total scrub either. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl if you have less than like just a neutral at quarterback. If you're a negative impact quarterback, which the Texans, that's what they've got.
Right.
It seems almost impossible.
Because even Dilfer, all he did was hand the ball off to Jamal Lewis.
Yeah.
And that team ran the ball as well as anybody and had a fantastic defense. And that's why they were able to win. They didn't need Dilfer to win games for him. This team can't run the ball like that. They're okay at it. When they get a lead and can run the football, absolutely. But how often does that happen? That's because you got to come out early and put points up, which they're just not very good at. Let's try a phone call. Alberto, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm a big Texans fan, right? But I'm at the point where I don't even care what their chances are. I just don't want to watch them anymore.
They are not a fun team to watch. It's not a very watchable, eyeball-friendly product. That's for sure.
Yeah, I hate this. I hate Bill O'Brien. I love football. I couldn't. I'll go to work early at 3 o'clock in the morning to get out by 12 o'clock to go watch it, and you know, because I love it. But what they're giving me now, like I hate them. I feel like they took joy from me. Like they took something from me. They took something from me, and I hate this team.
Yeah. Man,
that's how I feel right now.
That's a little harsher than I would expect to hear from Texans fan. I mean, they make the playoffs. I mean, that's, you know, they win more games than they lose. Most fan bases are pretty happy with that, but I'm telling you, I agree.
Cleveland would be happy with that.
I agree.
Jacksonville would be happy with that.
That this product is just, it's not very fun to watch. And there are, I'm okay with losing, because, I mean, obviously, you never want to lose. But I will say, and the Rockets have, they're much more fun to watch than they were last year. You know, last year, the just watching the games was difficult for me, because I didn't like to watch them play. It wasn't an enjoyable experience. I'll give you an example in the NBA right now. I'm still enjoying watching the Kings play. I'm still enjoying watching the Timberwolves play because it's a fun brand of basketball. They suck. Don't get me wrong. And they're nowhere near winning. I guess the Kings are actually in a playoff spot at the moment. I don't know that that'll hold, but they're, it's more entertaining for me to watch the Timberwolves play than it is to watch the Grizzlies or the Jazz play. And the Grizzlies and the Jazz are significantly better teams. I would guess that it's much more fun. There's teams that didn't make these playoffs that are just more fun to watch, even though they may not be better than the Texans. I think the Colts are a good example. The Colts had some really entertaining games. They're, you know, usually either failed fourth quarter comeback attempts or successful ones. That's fun to watch. Guys who can chuck it around, that's fun to watch in the NFL. The Texans' watchability meter is about a one. I mean, it is not exciting football in any way. I'd take the winning over being exciting, but I understand that frustration for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to be confident in them, especially on offense.
The Chiefs aren't fun to watch.
No, the Chiefs aren't fun to watch either. And the thing is about the Chiefs, while I think they're one of the three teams that could get there, I also think they're one of the teams that could easily go one and done because they play the kind of game the Texans do, which means you let the other team hang around in a lot of those cases. And, you know, yeah, they thumped Denver, but the game that I keep going back to, it's 2 weeks ago, they lose at home to Tennessee, a game they dominated, and let those guys hang around and kick a field goal at the end. So, yeah, that when you play that style, it's not going to be pretty. You're going to win a lot of games if you do it right. And I think the Chiefs do it a lot better than the Texans.
Right.
But, no, it's not fun to watch. Let's go to the HR&P listener line for Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey, gentlemen. Hope you all had a wonderful holiday.
Not too bad. What's up, man?
Man, I'm right there with the last guy to call, dude. I mean, the product sucks. I mean, the sad thing is there's a good chance with Carr not going to be there. We're probably going to win and end up with the 25th, 26th pick in the draft. I mean, they are not putting a good product on the field. And I've already sold my playoff tickets. I'm not going. I'm not going to waste my money.
Well, I haven't.
That's two on that side. I'm not surprised. I'm a little surprised. There's a certain part of the fan base that's just, I don't know that there's as many delusional, oh, this team can go to the Super Bowl guys anymore.
No, I think that's fallen way off.
I think people realize
that. And there was a lot of those early in the season, and because the wins were coming in. And
yeah.
The wins didn't fall far from what the mark of what people expected. A lot of people said 10 wins. I think we both said nine.
if they'd played their starting defense Sunday, they probably would have won a 10th game. But
maybe they do. But I think 8 to 10 was what most people expected. They end up with 9. I think that they realize now that the Osweiler, whatever you want to call it, experiment.
There's no hope. There's no hope with him. That's lost.
And as weeks went on, that hope started to fade. But it was so strong at the beginning of the season that people thought either A, he was going to get better, or B, the team would be able to overcome it no matter what. And I think as the season wore on, you started to see it's just not true. He's not going to get better. And this team, while they're pretty good around him, they're not good enough to overcome what he is. And Bill O'Brien hasn't done any favors instilling confidence in this fan base. This may be one of those years, and the caller just sort of mentioned it, like where the draft is going to be now. I may have just preferred to miss the playoffs. I almost think, you know, that making the playoffs is long-term detrimental to this team. And
well, it may be. I don't know that it'll be detrimental because there wasn't going to be a quarterback for them to draft.
No, but there's offensive linemen. I mean, let's not act like quarterback's the only flaw. No,
but you should be able to draft one of those guys where you are. I mean, there's usually solid offensive linemen at that part of the draft. They also need to. I mean, Jeff Allen's been awful. I thought that guy was going to be a really good pickup for them, And, man, he's just been bad. So you automatically should upgrade because Martin should be healthy next year, and that was supposed to be your center, and that's what you invested in. But they need to – that's another area where they're going to have to spend some money and go out and get somebody. And, you know, Dwayne Brown –
or a couple somebodies, yeah. I don't know. Dwayne Brown is not – he's over – I'm not saying he's a bad player by any means. I still think he's the best player on that offensive line by a good sight. But I think he's on that downward side of his career. And if you asked him, I think he'd probably tell you the same thing. You know, there's probably not many more all-pro selections in Dwayne Brown's future.
No.
Although
I think he has another 5 years if you move him to right tackle.
And I think so,
you,
too.
You get a real guy over there.
I think
there.
So, too. But I'm just saying the days of him being, like, one of the two or three best left tackles in the game,
well, yeah,
they're probably gone.
He hasn't been that for a couple of years.
So, and they're probably not coming back. So... it's not, I mean, all across that offensive line, you need upgrades. And whether it's moving him to the right side, which I don't know if they're to that point yet. Maybe they draft a future left tackle and
or go sign somebody who's right. established.
I don't know, but the whole offensive line, there's question marks all over it. I think the fact that you mentioned Nick Martin coming back, the fact that a guy we've never seen play a game is... you know, that's probably the easiest place to point at where you're going to be better next year.
Where you expect to be better, but right. you never know. And sometimes these picks don't work out, Xavier Sofila.
Right. So that's the problem, is it's just there's so many question marks. And that's to me, that it should have been a priority in the draft this year. And I know there's people who like Will Fuller. And I know I'm not the biggest Will Fuller supporter, but it's pretty clear now that... offensive line was more of a priority than Will Fuller. Will Fuller was putting spinning rims onto a car that's transmission was falling out, is what it was. So that to me, that was a I don't want to say mismanagement, but probably a miscalculation by management on what their needs were.
Yeah, and hopefully they've recognized that, because I think they need at least two new guys on that line. And, you know, because I'm assuming the third is already going to be there. And, you know, if Derek Newton, if he's a swing tackle instead of a starting tackle, you're in actually pretty good shape there.
Yeah, but he's a starting tackle.
Yeah, and that's something that I think has to be addressed along. And they're going to have to address quarterback again.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. I want to get into this thing. Can we get that guy on, Patrick Creighton?
I'm sure we can.
He works in this building.
Tyler, you want to reach out and see if he'll come on the show?
Yeah.
Because I honestly, I don't know what that's about, so we'll find out.
Yeah, but apparently he says sources say that Bill O'Brien wants out of Houston because of bad relationship with Rick Smith. I'm curious about that. All right, guys, it's a new year. How's it looking for you? You good on how much money you're making? You love your job so much? Probably not. You could slog through 12 more months in the same old rut with the same old results, or... you can move on to something better, something new. My Computer Career, the IT score. You can start your new job as an IT pro in as little as 3 months, even if you have zero IT experience. Attend classes on campus in Houston or live online to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. Plus, they're going to help you get hired and advance with lifetime career services. Now, if you're thinking, are they for real? Consider this. In 2016, My Computer Career helped over 1,000 students start new IT jobs. That's real. You can join them. Just go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation. And by the way, financial aid is available for those who qualify, including my fellow vets with the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today. Mycomputercareer.edu, that's mycomputercareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, I kind of addressed this on the website yesterday. There was a tweet that Jay Glazer sent out that said that the Texans and O'Brien may agree to part ways, basically, was how he phrased it, if there's a short playoff run. Which, And then people picked it up and said they may mutually part ways. Well, you never mutually part ways in these situations. Either somebody wants out or the other guy doesn't. And the other guy doesn't, or you know, you basically know you're getting canned. I just took that as O'Brien's agent leaking stuff.
Yeah.
Which is usually the case.
I mean, where's Bill O'Brien going to go? Where, I mean, where's he going to end up that's a better job than here?
Of the ones available? I mean, there's a reason all those jobs are available. Right. Denver would be the only one.
Denver's a pretty good available job, I would say. The rest, they've all got a lot of problems. I mean, is Bill O'Brien like positioning himself to move to Buffalo, New York? I sure hope not. I sure hope that's not his grand plan if he gets out of Houston. I mean, San Diego sounds great, but
how much longer are you going to have Philip Rivers?
Right, Philip Rivers doesn't want to move to L.A. And I think Denver's by far the best job. Jacksonville might be the second best job on the board right now.
Yeah, that's one that I look at, and I see a team that could easily do what the Titans did this year, next year with right. the right coach.
I mean, you got a little bit of talent, but...
Yeah. I still don't think Bortles is going to get you there, but I like what they've got there.
I mean, the Rams, that's a mess. The San Francisco, oh boy. Buffalo, bad.
I mean, yeah, even the GM didn't know they were firing Rex in Buffalo.
Yeah. The Buffalo they're about to hire their sixth head coach since 2009. You know, I mean, you know how many people are lining up for that job? None. I mean, they have since the old man died. That thing has been running to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's. I mean, if Jacksonville and San Diego, because I don't think Denver's looking to hire Bill O'Brien.
No. If he can't get along with Rick Smith, he ain't getting along with John Elway.
No, John Elway's going to be way more in his business than Rick Smith is. So if Jacksonville and San Diego, or maybe San Diego, is that much more appealing, good luck to you, man. Good luck. I don't know. Maybe he wants to be the OC in New England again. Maybe he figured out that's easier. But I don't think the Penn State job's open.
No.
The pickings are slim.
My theory is that these two have been heading for a power struggle for a while now. If I'm Rick Smith, I've already probably intimated that, dude, you've got to blow up this offensive coaching staff. Your line coach has to go. We need a real coordinator. And this is his pushback.
I'm never a guy who says that people should be fired. Like I think that it's all a matter of what McNair is willing to put up with. But I honestly think that this whole organization just needs an enema from the top down. And if you're going to move on from Bill O'Brien and keep Rick Smith, I don't know that a whole lot is going to change.
No.
If you want to move on from Rick Smith and keep Bill O'Brien, I'm not sure a whole lot's going to change. So,
well, and I think all of this is premature. They haven't even played their playoff game yet. And now you're talking about firing the coach, and people already ask, well, who would replace him and stuff like that? I just think that's kind of dumb.
The answer's Chip Kelly, by the way.
Oh, God. Get out of here with that. I think this is agent leak stuff. So that, you know, because there's going to be another offseason power struggle with these two. And frankly, with the season they just had, I wouldn't even think about getting rid of either one of them, but I would clean out that entire offensive staff. They all have to go. And every coach has to do it. And I know that Gotsy's his buddy, and he probably doesn't want to fire him, but good coaches have to do this all the time. Gary Kubiak had to do it. The Texans got good when he went out and got Wade Phillips to be his DC. And it's obvious that this offense is never going to get any better until you get another voice in there. And yes, you need offensive linemen, and they've got to fix a quarterback, and that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with again this offseason. Because now it's not going to be who can you go get, it's who can you go get cheap.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck with the draft deal. But all that aside, you've got to get a new voice in here on offense. It's just, it's obvious you can't have the 31st ranked off or 32nd ranked offense in the league and not fire people, especially when you've got a terrific defense that should get even better next year, But that window is pretty small for those guys.
Well, especially when you're an offensive guy.
Exactly.
You're like, your brand is, or was, you know, offensive quarterback whisperer guru. And you're not.
Can we stop with that? That was another thing I wrote about yesterday. Is that Yahoo story that picked up the Glazer thing and ran with it. It's like, well, he'd be, all kinds of teams would be interested in him because of his reputation for developing quarterbacks.
Who's the last quarterback he developed?
Yeah, who? Christian Hackenberg? At college? He was a five-star recruit. Well, developed him?
He didn't develop anyone. And if it's...
So
the guy got, he was blessed by God to be on a team where he was coaching Tom Brady. That's it. That's the only quarterback I've seen him have success with. And I got to be honest, I feel like I could be Tom Brady's quarterback coach and he'd do all right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He'd do all right.
I think I could handle that job too.
I mean,
not to be cocky or anything, but
hey, I mean, where's this?
I'd basically come over. Hey, Tom.
Where's this trail of badass quarterbacks?
Keep doing what you're doing, Tom.
Yeah. Do whatever you did this year, do it again next year.
Yeah, whatever you did, the 29 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, hey.
We like that, yeah, Tom.
That's a positive.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, so if the management says, here's the deal, Bill, your offense sucks, either fire everybody and figure something out that's going to work or hit the trail, I mean... Bill O'Brien should be looking at that thing and going, well, you know what? You're right. We do suck on offense. This is horrible.
But see, he's so arrogant and stubborn. I can't see him in that postseason meeting when they say, hey, you know, Gotsy's got to go. Your offensive line coach has got to go. You need new guys across the board in there. I can't see him saying, oh, no, we're on the – I can see him saying, we're on the right path. Those are the right guys. Because I hired him. Because
Brock Osweiler said, we're a couple plays away from being a really explosive offense, and maybe they're going to hold that all the way through the post through the off season. Say, you know what, we're just one or two plays away from becoming explosive, from being explosive diarrhea to being an explosive offense. Just a couple plays away.
Oh well,
I don't see it, but
I don't either. And look, I think a lot of this is really premature. Let's let things play out. You know, let's see if they lose to Oakland and get humiliated like they did at the end of last year. I think that changes.
I think that's pretty impossible.
But. I think it's, I don't know if it's impossible. It's unlikely, but if it happens, then I don't think it's his choice anymore. Then I think you have to realistically look at saying, all right, fine, all you guys out of here. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. Reinforce my own regret.
ESPN 97.5.
Texas A&M Kentucky College Basketball, 8 p.m. tonight on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. And joining us now, Patrick Creighton. You can hear him over on 1560 with Nate and Crate. And he's the one that had the O'Brien story. And Patrick, I did not get to listen today, so how about filling me in on exactly what you told the people over on 1560?
All right. Well, basically today what happened was I had a conversation with a couple sources earlier this afternoon. And basically it was Bill O'Brien. You know, we saw the reports about Bill O'Brien and Texans possibly parting ways if they didn't have a good playoff showing. Well, it's kind of breaking down to more than that, which is that Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith's relationship has deteriorated to the point that Bill O'Brien is looking to get out. That Bill O'Brien, that would be the major impetus for Bill O'Brien wanting to leave the Texans, is that he has a very bad relationship with Rick Smith. It's not something that's new. It's something that's been going on for a while. The source noted that it was something that the producers of Hard Knocks recognized last year during training camp. And if we remember last year when the team got off to the bad start, you started to see, you know, Rick Smith starting to separate himself from Bill O'Brien when it looked like the Texans were going to go down the rabbit hole before they rallied to come back to win the division. So I don't know that it's a big surprise that Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith don't have a great relationship, but I do think it's very interesting that the relationship has now gotten so bad that O'Brien would want to leave the Texans as a result.
I mean, is this something that he thinks he's got a better opportunity somewhere down the road, or he just feels like he needs something new altogether?
Well, you know, as soon as the story started coming out about O'Brien and the Texans having this quote-unquote mutual parting of the ways should the Texans not have a good playoff showing, you know, the next set of articles was, well, where would Bill O'Brien go? Certainly, if Bill O'Brien were to hit the market, I think he would be, you know, the hottest commodity as far as a head coach for teams looking for a head coach. And then, of course, there's the Patriots ties. You know, if Josh McDaniels were to get a head coaching job, would Bill O'Brien want to go back to New England and be the offensive coordinator there and try to put himself in line to be Belichick's successor?
Why would he be such a hot commodity, just out of curiosity? Here's a guy who we talked about this earlier, has this reputation as a guy who's developed quarterbacks. Name me one quarterback he's developed. His offense was the worst in the league this year. They won despite that. Why would he be such a hot commodity around the league?
I think that's what it is, though. The fact that this is 3 years in a row he's posted winning records with arguably the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. And, yeah, he's supposed to be an offensive coach, and, you know, we were expecting, certainly I was expecting this year, and I think a lot of us were, hey, they just added all this speed to the offense. They're trying to be a bigger play offense because last season they didn't get any big plays. So this year, hey, let's be able to, you know, to hit a 10-yard play and turn it into 70 yards. Well, that didn't happen because the quarterback play was so poor. But the fact that he has won 3 years in a row and overcome all those obstacles makes him a hot commodity.
Okay. I would be looking at the guy at the other side of the ball, frankly. But the other thing, just with his, let's face it, the guy's kind of an a-hole. The kind of his approach to things, is he never going to be a guy that lasts anywhere very long? And is he going to be like Harbaugh was, where he's going to be out of there in a couple of years, pretty much wherever he goes?
Well, O'Brien?
Yeah.
With him, you know, O'Brien's got a fiery personality, and I don't know that necessarily works with everybody. You know, I would say that I would bet that Brock Osweiler probably was not expecting to be coached as hard as he's been coached since coming to Houston, because, listen, we know how Gary is, and Gary isn't going to ride him half as hard as O'Brien's going to ride him. So do I think there's some culture shock there? Yeah, there might have been. And, you know, could Brock have handled it better? I'm sure he could have. But the drop-off in his play has been, you can't measure it. It's been so poor. Is O'Brien a guy who's never, it's his first coaching job. I'm sure there's plenty of things that he's had to learn along the way, as every, you know, first-time coach learns. I wouldn't say that he's going to flame out everywhere he's going to go, but I'm sure that wherever he winds up next, there's plenty of lessons of different ways that he could have done things that I think he'll implement.
Patrick Creighton, our guest. You can hear him on 1560 as part of Nate and Crate. A couple other thoughts that I wanted to just kind of bounce off you, because this strikes me as coming from his agents. Is this just a power struggle between him and Smith? Because that came out last year, for him to have more power over the organization and getting that out now? Or is it also because he may be asked to clean out that offensive staff and he doesn't want to do it?
Realistically, you could probably, you know, swing the meter any way you want on here. Because, you know, again, last year, you had it from, you know, you saw Rick Smith trying to separate himself in the middle of the season. You saw maybe Bill O'Brien trying to pull a power play later on in the season when the team started rebounding. Is it a ploy to get a new contract? Because he's going to be going into his fourth year, and, you know, coaches don't usually coach in their fourth year without a new contract, an extension of some sort. You know, he'll leave a guy hanging on, the final year of his deal. So is any of those things possibilities? Of course they are. But again, the story about O'Brien and Rick Smith having a bad relationship, this is now 2 years of the same story. And for a story to linger that long, there's got to be taste to it.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate you coming on, talking about it a little bit. And, guys, you can check him out on 1560, the Nate and Crate Show. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you having me, fellas.
Yeah. I know, you know, guys aren't going to name their sources. I get that. But I'm curious if it's somebody within the organization or...
I don't know. Well, I'm going to speculate the same way that I did yesterday, the same way that I'm doing today, is that just strikes me as something that's coming from the O'Brien camp.
Yeah.
Whether it's his agent or somebody else. And, you know, I would say if you're that miserable working with a guy, you know, I think it's, we saw this last year. I think at some point he's trying to force Smith out. This happens in every city, unless you're a team that is built, you know, long term like the Steelers are. You never hear Mike Tomlin and whoever's a GM there arguing, do you?
No.
You don't hear that. And Belichick kind of does both in New England, so that doesn't count. But we saw that in San Francisco. You see it everywhere. I think a little bit of what, you know, what probably drove Gary Kubiak nuts was having to deal with Elway as much as he does, even though they're friends. I just think it's, yeah, this is what happens when you get arrogance combined with some success. Then everybody wants to take credit for it, and then they want to blame them for the things that don't go right. So I'm pretty sure the whole Brock Osweiler thing is people going back and forth over whose fault it is. I don't know. But I think the timing of it is curious to me that you bring that up before you have a playoff game.
Yeah.
So instead of talking about, okay, what are you going to do a quarterback now, you're talking about this. So whoever it is out there leaking it, probably not the best decision. Hey, I forgot to mention this, but we're going to give away Bedrock City Company gift card and t-shirt. What you're going to do is pick a superhero or supervillain athlete from the weekend games. You're going to tweet what the reason their superpower was that made them the hero or the villain. And at the end of the show, Tyler will pick a winner. So you're going to tweet it at producer T. Scott and tag it Bedrock City Comics and do your superhero and villain. Tyler will pick the winner. You get a gift card for $25 and a t-shirt. How cool is that? All right. Well, I'll tell you something else that's really, really cool. If you got a car right now, you probably got a car payment. Well, what if you could get that car payment reduced? Like, down from $700 to $600? How about $100 a month? What if you could defer your first payment 60 days? 2 months with no car payments? Well, car dealers make most of their profit on your loan by marking up your rate. And dealers will mark up your rate sometimes 2 to 3 points over what you really qualify for. That's $2,000 to $3,000 in interest you're paying on your loan. That's pure dealer profit. And that's money that should be going in your pocket.
Slashmypayments.com. They're going to help you get more of that money back into the hands that deserve it. And it's really simple. It's really fast, and it doesn't cost you a thing. They've dropped payments from 634 down to 541, 625 down to 574. It takes just a couple of minutes. Go to slashmypayments.com and type in our code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you're on your way to saving some real money with approved credit. Other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's slashmypayments, slashmypayments.com.
Listening to the Blitz.
Hold on to your butts.
On ESPN 97.5.